Tonight I want to look in Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 2, and this is a familiar passage of Scripture, and a lot of times when you hear this passage read and even preached on and taught about, you kind of have an evangelistic type theme where individuals are helping someone and they're bringing him to Christ, and Christ heals him. And of course, there's some theology as far as the teachings here about Christ and who he was and what his abilities were, and how that he made the statement to this one with palsy. He says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And then there, of course, there I'll read about it here in just a few minutes, but there was some controversy there. And any questions, and so there's a lot of different ways that we can approach this passage. But tonight I want us to focus on removing the barriers. In this passage, there were two barriers that stand out to us that literally had to be, something had to be done with them. For things to happen, for this man to be put in front of Christ. And so I want to kind of think on this tonight, and I hope it can be a help and encouragement, because a lot of times there are barriers when it comes to living our Christian life, when it comes to serving the Lord, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to serving the Lord. And so a lot of times barriers can come up. And so I'd like to begin reading with verse 1 of Mark chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 12 verses. And the Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoned in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies, and who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thy house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." So tonight we want to look at removing the barriers. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, each one of us that are here tonight and each one that is watching online, Lord, we realize in our own life we have trials and we have problems and we have even barriers in our lives. So Father, I pray that you help us tonight. We have a desire, Lord, to minister to those that are struggling and even those that don't know Christ. So Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight. And Lord, speak and do a work that you can do and that you can only do. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title, as I've already mentioned, Removing the Barriers. And I don't know about you, but I have noticed that when you make a decision for Christ, or you make a decision to do something, or you make a commitment to the Lord, then things come up. Things get in the way. Things hinder. And it seems like it's one thing after another. And all trying to hinder God working, or all trying to hinder your commitment. And we think about these hindrances and we call them roadblocks. And they can make a difference in someone's life. Now, these men that was carrying this one with the palsy, they wanted to bring this man to Jesus Christ. And they wanted to present him to Jesus, because they knew that Jesus could heal him. But yet there were barriers that come up. And there was two particular barriers that kind of spoke to me, that these barriers hindered, and it may have kind of dampened, but it didn't control. And so tonight I would like to spend a little time in this passage thinking about these things. And the first thing that I want to make mention tonight is I would like to point out that there was a man in need. There was a man with palsy. There was a man that was struggling. Now, not much is known about this person. We know that he couldn't walk. We know that he was physically hindered. We also know that he relied on others to try to help him, to try to support him. And we also know that his need was great. He has a physical need. He had troubles. He had problems. And he couldn't ultimately fend for himself. But also I'd like us to notice this. And I would like us to point out, not only did this man had a need, and not only was there some problems in this man's life, but also he had some mighty good friends. He had some mighty good friends. He had individuals that cared for him. He had individuals that supported him. And they realized that they could not do anything themselves. And they realized that if something was going to be done for their friend, that Jesus Christ was the one that was going to have to do it. And that's important for us to think about tonight, is this. If we've got someone in our life, whether it be a family member or whether it be a friend or a neighbor or an acquaintance or just someone you know that is struggling, whether they be lost or whether they're struggling with problems or difficulties in their life, we need to understand that we can't help them, but Jesus can. We have our limitations, is what I'm trying to say. We can help them when we can support them, but yet Jesus is the one that makes a difference. And so they realized that. They realized in the power of Jesus Christ. They realized in the compassion of Jesus Christ. They also realized in the willingness of Jesus Christ. And they also had faith in Jesus. Now that's important. They had faith in Jesus, and matter of fact, the Bible even talks about how that he saw their faith in verse 5. So they had a realization of who Jesus was. They had a realization of the power of Jesus. They had a realization of the compassion of Jesus. They had a realization of the willingness of Jesus. And they had faith in Jesus. So everything was centering around Jesus Christ. And I will tell you this, when everything is centering around Jesus Christ in your life, then barriers and problems are going to come. They're going to come. And I wonder if they talked to each other. I wonder if they communicated to each other. I wonder if they talked, well, you get this corner and you get this corner and those type of things. And I wonder if they made a plan to get this man to Jesus Christ. I wonder if they made a plan and talked amongst themselves that we're going to go on this day. Jesus is there and we're going to make every effort to get this man to Jesus. And so they set out to carry him to Jesus Christ. And they made this decision. And when they make a decision, and when we make a decision for Christ, barriers are going to come. Barriers are going to come. I'll give you a prime example of something that happened today. I came home and I always like to spend a little bit of time in my study. And I just kind of like to wind down and really focus, and I'm reading and I'm studying and I'm looking over my notes and I'm looking all over these things. And while I'm sitting there in my study, I hear this noise and I couldn't figure out what it was. And it almost sounded like water, but I don't have any water in my office. And it kind of sounded like a drip. And I thought, my goodness, what is that? And I looked to the left, and I have a Bible cover, and on one of my Bible covers was this little puddle of water. And then I looked up. And I have ceiling tiles in my office, and one of the ceiling tiles was sagging. And when it started sagging, I knew there were problems. And so I went and got Darla and I said, you're going to have to help me. And the way my office is laid out, there's a counter and then all my books and all my bookshelves, and it was dripping on the bookshelves. And so I removed the tile, which was saturated, and I found a copper pipe that had a pinhole. And you that's got a little bit older houses, you can kind of appreciate that. Amen. And so... So then all of a sudden, my focus left this message and there became a distraction. And I thought to myself, who is it that needs this tonight, even myself, that's trying to be hindered? So I hurriedly and tried to clean up and had I've not been there, and if it would have went a day or so without me, it would have literally destroyed most of my library and a lot of my Bibles and what have you. But by God's grace, I was there and He allowed me to hear a drip. Amen. And so there's a lot of blessings, but also there's a lot of distractions. So I had to get cleaned up and get ready for church, and then I had to get all the water cut off, and so I'll be dealing with that tonight. But the point is, there's barriers that come in our life that are unexpected. And so these men were trying to get this man that was sick with a palsy to Jesus Christ. So let's look at barrier number one. Barrier number one was the fact that there was no room. There was no room to get this man to Jesus. And we see that in verse 2. There was no room to receive him. No, not so much about the door. And of course, Christ was preaching. So there was no room. And I guess I could kind of put it this way kindly, but others were in the way. They were in the way. And so people can help you or people can hinder you. They can help you and they can encourage you, or they can hinder you. And they can hinder what you're doing for Christ. They can literally hinder that. And I'll give you an example of a hindrance. And it's a personal example in my life. Back when I was dealing with the Lord calling me into the ministry, I was struggling. And I was struggling and I was talking to a few people, and a few people were very encouraging and say, well, you know, you're going to know. And so they were encouraging, but yet I was, you know, you gotta understand someone, that struggled in school. You gotta understand someone that when I graduated school, I wasn't planning on ever going back. You know, it's like, I'm done. And I struggled with school. I struggled with a lot of things. And I was thinking to myself, my goodness, you know, what in the world can the Lord do with me? And I still wonder that. But the point is, I was struggling. So I was talking to a few people. And I was talking to someone that I respected highly. And he said this. He said, well, brother, he said, I don't believe the Lord's calling you. He said, I believe that there's some kind of sin in your life that God is dealing with you with. Now, for a young person, I didn't know what to make of that. Because I was struggling with the ministry and I was struggling with what the Lord was, what I felt like the Lord was calling me to do. My dad had passed away. I couldn't talk to him. And so I was struggling. So I kind of stepped back and I'm like, you know, and I started searching my life. Is there something in my life? Is there something that the Lord's dealing with me on? Is there some kind of sin in my life or some kind of something that I'm doing that the Lord isn't pleased with? And I just struggled. So I took that advice and I laid, you know, the thought of ministry on the shelf because I was talking to an experienced person and so that's what he said. But yet it didn't last long and my heart started, it's like, and the pastor can relate to this, and others, but when the Lord calls you, you can't explain it, but you just know it. And so it came back up and it kept coming back up. And then I started talking to others and so finally I bowed my head and said, Lord, I don't know what you want, but I'm going to do whatever it is you want. Amen. And so I gave my heart to Christ and the ministry. But my point is, people can either help you or people can hurt you. And so we have to be aware. And we have to realize that people can be a barrier. Now in this case, there was so many people that were around, that they were in the way of bringing someone to Jesus Christ. And I wished I could tell you tonight that every person that was in the way was there because they were wanting to see Christ. They was wanting Christ to do something in their life. They was wanting, you know, Jesus was who he was. But unfortunately, there were those that were there to criticize Jesus. And there were those there that were criticizing who he was. And so literally, if I can put it plainly, they were in the way. They were in the way of what Jesus Christ can do. And they became barriers and a barrier to what Jesus could do to this man's life. And our prayer tonight should be that we're never a barrier of helping someone and getting them to Jesus Christ. We should never be a hindrance. We should never be a barrier. So there's two approaches that they could take. They could have took the approach of, and y'all know this term, y'all probably know this terminology. But one of the terminology is this. They could have been a bull in a china shop and they could have just busted through the ranks and brought this man to Jesus Christ. But had they have done that, I believe, had they have done that, the focus would have been on them and not Jesus. The focus would have been on them and what they did rather than Jesus Christ and what he could do. And so that was one of the approaches that they could use. Or they could figure another way. And they did. Barrier 2 is found in verse 4. The Bible says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. The roof. The roof. Now the buildings that were back then, a lot of them were kind of a flat top type roof, and they were, a lot of the roofs were made out of clay and straw and different things. So they began to take that apart, and they started peeling back one layer at a time. And sometimes that's what we have to do with barriers. Sometimes we have to peel it back one layer at a time. One layer at a time. But the whole emphasis was getting this man to Jesus. That was the whole emphasis. And they started peeling back and started peeling back and started peeling back. And then all of a sudden, there was an opening. There was an opening. And things began to change. Things began to change. And this is what began to change. When the barrier started being removed, or went around the barriers, such as they did with the press, and when they started removing the layers of the roof, the layers of the barrier, then this is what happened. Jesus could be seen. Jesus could be seen. The barriers hindered the view of Jesus. The barriers hindered the view of Jesus. But now that there was a hole in the roof, and I thought it was interesting that when they, you know, if the place was that crowded, which it was, based on what the Bible says, it was crowded. I just imagine as they started peeling back that roof, what people began to think. And you know, because all of a sudden you got a covered place and now you've got a hole in the roof. And so I wondered what they began to think. But most importantly, I want us to see tonight is when the barriers are removed, they could see Jesus. And they could see, and they knew what they were going to do. There's a psalm that I want to read. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God?" That psalm makes me think of someone that is thirsty for Jesus. Thirsty for Jesus to move. Thirsty for Jesus to work in a life. Thirsty for things to happen. And for us to be able to allow Jesus to work in our own lives, we have to make sure the barriers are removed. We have to make sure these barriers, whatever they are, we have to make sure these barriers are removed. Because when the barriers are removed, then you can see Jesus. And so when they saw Jesus, they began to let down this bed. Now there's something else that was interesting that I thought of, and I'm just thinking of it in my own terms. If I had three other people and we were going to, have to lay this bed down and drop it through the ceiling, then those four people had to have some unity. They had to have some unity. They had to each one let down at the same time. And they had to have unity in bringing this man to Jesus Christ. They had to have unity. And they also had to have faith that Jesus would do something, because now they've got a hole in the ceiling, and they had to have faith that Jesus was going to do something. And also this man had to have faith and had to trust the ones that were dropping him down. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in this passage of Scripture. There's a lot that's taking place. Because if this man did not have confidence in those four that were dropping him down, if he didn't have confidence, I don't believe that it would ever happen. And that's why it's so important that we keep our integrity as a Christian. That we keep our integrity where people can trust us. where people can trust what we say, when people trust what we do. Not just speaking some words that sound good, but I'm talking trustworthy words. And they trusted him. He trusted them that they would not drop him. He trusted them that the thing would, that the bed would be laid down, in the perfect spot. And keep in mind that I believe that they laid that bed down right in front of Jesus. Right in front of Jesus Christ. So first, when the barrier was removed, first, they could see Jesus. Second, they entered in the presence of Jesus. In Christ's presence. Do you know, when we release our burdens and our barriers to Jesus Christ, we can be in His presence. You can discover blessings. You can discover blessings when these barriers are removed. You say, what was the blessing? Well, the blessing was this man would soon be healed. But there's another blessing. The other blessing is this. Jesus saw their faith. That's the other blessing. Jesus saw their faith. The Bible says in the first part of verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, He looked down to this one with the palsy and said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." And then that's when the religious leaders, the scribes and those started murmuring against themselves and reasoning in their hearts. But when the barrier is removed, there's something else that you experience, and that is the power of Jesus Christ. The power of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes, if we're not careful, we hinder the power of Jesus working in our life. We hinder, and there's different ways that He can be hindered. And that's why it's so important that we remove the barriers. And when they experienced the power of Jesus, there was an experience with the cleansing power, because He said, "Sons, thy sins be forgiven thee." And then there was an experience of the power of Jesus in the changing power. He changed a man's life. And in verse 10 and 12, the Bible says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way in thy house." And notice the blessing here in verse 12. It says, "And immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth before them all." And I wondered as he was leaving if he was able to go through the door. And I believe he was. I believe that people got out of his way. That's the power of Jesus. That's the power of Jesus. Before this man came to Jesus, he could do nothing. But when the barriers were removed, things changed. And he can now walk. You see, the barriers have to be removed. The barriers have to be removed. I'm not sure what kind of barriers could be in our life that could hinder. But let me challenge you tonight that if there is something, if there is a barrier in your life, then give it to Jesus. I don't know that this individual and all the ins and outs about this individual and where he came from and his family tree and all these things. But I do know that there were four people that cared enough about this man. I do know that there were things in the way that had to be removed. And I do know that when he got in the presence of Jesus Christ, things changed. Things changed. and Jesus made a difference. We just need to remove the barriers so we can see Jesus. So we can see Jesus. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for such a tremendous passage of Scripture. And there's so much in this passage, and we didn't even scratch the surface, but we did see barriers and hindrances. And they had to be removed before we could see Jesus and before Jesus could work. So, Father, I pray if there's something that's hindering in our life in any way, I pray we too would remove those barriers and look straight at Jesus. Help us to be trustworthy Christians. Help us to have integrity. Help us to be an example that people will trust us when we tell them about Jesus. And Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight, and as we leave this place here shortly, that we'll revisit this passage in our minds and in our hearts and even read it again and just see how powerful you are. Father, I thank you for this time we've had together. And now, Lord, I just pray that you'll bless hearts, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.